I'm telling you, I swear there are breadcrumbs they are saying we're going to be more aggressive. We're going to, what do you say? I just want to make sure we go after it. We're going to bring in some guys to compete.
Well, I think they recognize they've got, like every other team in the National Football League, you're going to have turnover on the roster. You've got a lot of free agents that you're going to lose. You've got to find a way to create cap space, and there are ways to do it. But right now, if things started today, they have no cap space, basically. So you're going to lose a lot of players. And just inherently, you're going to bring in players that will compete. Now, people want upgrades on the offensive line. Well, you can get those in free agency. Now, does that mean that the competition comes in, you go out and you sign a center or a tackle and you bring them in, that they're going to be competing with Tate Ratledge to see if Ratledge is a center or not? Are they going to compete with Kobe Soarsdal or with Giovanni Manu? Are they competing with those guys or who are they competing with? Because to me, when I hear, you know, competition, and it's about that offensive line that has to get fixed first and foremost. You know, the secondary, good God, I mean, the secondary needs help, but they need starters in the secondary. I don't think competition is going to breed out all of a sudden a Pro Bowl player in the secondary based on what they have on the roster right now. I think those guys did an admirable job, but they're backups to backups.
248-539-9797. Am I reading too much into it? I thought there were breadcrumbs there. I think those last two sound bites we played from Dan Campbell were breadcrumbs that they're going to be a little bit more aggressive in terms of their roster. I could be wrong. Kang, during the break, you told me you thought I was reading too much into it.
No,
and I'm okay with that.
No, I think, listen, you guys could both be right, but it's just maybe what you want to hear, and it's kind of like infecting to, you know, implicating like, oh, that's what I heard. But I thought it means everything. And maybe because I think they need a lot of different stuff. They need to tweak a lot of different things. So that's players in the locker room. That's coaching staff, whether it's positional coaches or just tweaks on how they game plan and adjustments that they didn't make throughout the season. So I just thought it was everything, but maybe, you know, like I said, that's why you guys could both be right.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got guys coming back from injury, right? Like Rakestraw and Arnold, two guys that they drafted a couple of years ago in the first and second round, looked like, okay, here we go. These are going to be our corners for years to come, and they both get hurt. Rakestraw hasn't played, and, you know, Arnold played half a season this year before getting hurt. Is that where competition comes? Do you want to bring Amik Robertson back? Because Amik Robertson hasn't missed a game in 4 years. You want to bring him back because that's competition and iron sharpens iron and the whole thing. I mean, I can listen to some of that and I can agree with some of that. But I think some of it's just going to be, you're going to lose out on players by attrition. Elkadeen Muhammad, who's a free agent.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Here's what he had to say yesterday. He said, I will go where I'm being valued at. Absolutely. I worked my tail off. I took a discount, in my opinion, this season. Absolutely, definitely go where I'm valued at. But I want to be here. If they value me here, I'll be here. Hopefully, that's the way it turns out. I mean, Elkadeen Muhammad is letting everybody know, open for business. And he should. He's coming off an 11-sack season in part-time duty. So if you want a pass rushing specialist, there's a guy. You know, James Houston, pass rush specialist, part-time duty, had a decent year with Dallas this year, you know, but wasn't going to stick around in Detroit. Is Muhammad the same thing? And how much is he going to cost? Did Elkadeen Muhammad just earn himself a $10 to $12 million a year contract?
Might have.
He might have. And he was getting paid $1.2 million with the Lions. So how much are they, or how much can they value him, and how high is he on the priority list? Because I think the number one priority is finding an offensive lineman, whether it's a starting tackle, if Taylor Decker's going to retire, or if it's a starting center.
248-539-9797. All right, let's get to the people. We talked to Scott in West Bloomfield. You're on 97.1. Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. You know, just high level, it's pretty frustrating watching a defense with that much potential. I mean, you got potentially five All-Pro players in Campbell, BB, Kirby, Aleem, Aiden, and week after week we just see them being let down just by what I think is a scheme issue. I mean, you're running 45% man-to-man coverage. It's number one in the league. Everybody knows this. 23% blitz rate, 21st in the league or something like that. You know, it's useful man and whatever, but if you're running man that often and you're blitzing at that low of a rate with guys like Campbell, Anzalone, Beebe, who have shown potential to be great blitzers. It's frustrating. It's obviously a scheme issue when you have the same guy who was working under Aaron Glenn when everybody was screaming for his head, and then you bring in, you know, Kelvin Shepard, nothing against him, but he seems to be running the same kind of defense. And we have the potential to be great. We show it in spots. We show it in big games. But when you're constantly running the same thing over and over again, it seems to wear down at the end of the games when they're running man-to-man. Maybe. And to Gator's point, like, yeah. I think we addressed the secondary this year. I think we had depth. I think Yasin played awesome. I think Amik played awesome. But when they're playing man-to-man for 50% of the game, you know, eventually you're going to let up plays. It's just not, it's not like we're not being consistent in changing up, which sounds contradictory, but
Best, their best three players in the secondary all miss significant periods of time.
Absolutely.
And that's part of the equation here.
Yeah.
Don't you adjust and play zone if that's the case?
I don't know the first thing about coaching. I have always admitted that. I can't. Sure.
But here's something that I would say to Scott that I was going to say earlier, that it maybe this is one of the reasons why Dan Campbell hasn't come out and said we're going to look for a new defensive coordinator, or why people think that Kelvin Shepard's coming back. If he's coming back, because if Dan Campbell says this is the defense, we want to run the same defense we ran before, we need you to run it, but we want to do what worked for us. And he's like, okay, you know, if Shepard's going to run what Dan Campbell wants him to run, or is he going to run what he wants?
It does happen in sports where somebody above you says, this is the way we're going to do it. And
somebody who's inexperienced.
And so you take, and I've heard stories, okay? Mm-hmm. When the boss says, and it's pro sports, it can be the owner, it can be a head coach, tells a coordinator, this is the way we're going to do it. And that coordinator's like, okay, and gives their opinion, but we'll do it your way because it's what you want. Maybe they were back to the drawing board. Like, it might not be all on Kelvin Shepard. It might have been a Dan Campbell edict in this particular instance. And it could tell there's a lot of reflection in those sound bites we played. But I don't know. Like, should they have played more zone? I mean, I guess. When you're unsuccessful, what you didn't do never doesn't work. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And when you're starting your fourth, fifth, and sixth safeties on the season, I mean, you've got problems back there. So what are they most comfortable with playing? Are they going to be most comfortable playing a zone or man-to-man? I don't have the answer to that. What I'm telling you is you're getting down to guys you pulled off the street to play in the secondary for a second year in a row. It's really hard.
And you also put together your roster to play a certain kind of defense, meaning you went with players that's their strength.
Yeah.
And then you're going to ask them to play a different style of defense when the truth is they're not as good at that because that's not why you brought them in. Like, there's a lot of moving parts here. I don't think it's quite as simple, but that's why I don't try and coach teams. Learned a long time ago. 248-539-9797. Now, you can look at the results and say that didn't work, and he's onto something there. I agree with him. I don't know what the solution is.
Right.
But they got to be better than they were this year, and we saw it in that season finale. They played good defense against Chicago.
They did, and it was a different type of defense that they ran prior to in the season. If you're running more zone coverage and you have great results out of it, then you have to think to yourself, all right, maybe this is just a simple fix.
97-1.